The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Think about this. When euthanasia was first introduced in the Netherlands, it was just for the very, very, very old, tired, worn out people who had lived a full life and just didn't want to go on. And then it was for the terminally ill cancer patients and so forth. There was absolutely no hope. Maybe they had been in a coma for a long time and, well, we'll just pull the plug and end their life. And now it has devolved to where a 17-year-old girl with no physical ailment at all, as far as I can tell, she was absolutely healthy. No physical ailments whatsoever, but she was depressed. How many 17-year-olds have faced depression? What do? You get them help. You get counseling. If necessary, you get medication. Sometimes medication, properly administered, can do absolutely wonders with depression. I've known many, many people who have suffered deep, deep depression and with counseling and proper medication lived a wonderful, fruitful, joyful life. Here is a 17-year-old with the rest of her life ahead of her. And listen, at 17 years old, she could not in any way, shape, or form have exhausted the help that could have been available to her, and she did not need her parents' permission. The article does not tell me how her parents felt about it, but it is very clear that she did not need their permission. In fact, in the Netherlands, a 16-year-old can legally kill themselves with the approval of the government without parental consent. A 16-year-old. Now, if you're under 16, you have to have parental consent. Oh, wow. Look at that. And you can kill yourself as young as 12 in the Netherlands. 12 years old. Again, the teen announced her own death in a heart-wrenching Instagram post, where she told friends and family not to try to change her mind. It had been made up for a long time. How many 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds have made a decision? This is what I'm going to do. And then they look back 10 years later and they go, oh my goodness, I am so glad. I am so glad that no one held me to that decision. You know, when I was 16, I said I was going to do this and I was going to do this and I was absolutely positive about this. Oh my goodness, I was so wrong. I was so young. I was so ignorant. I was so dumb. I am so glad no one kept me to that decision that I made when I was 16. Well, this girl is 17 and there is no way to change her mind because she is dead. I'm just so deeply, deeply saddened, troubled, distressed. But this is where euthanasia leads. Oh, we're just going to do it for the elderly, the old. Oh, their life is full. They're done. They're finished. Let's just allow them to, with dignity in their own life. And then it's, well, they're terminally ill. We don't want them to be in pain. Let's end their life with dignity. And now, teenagers killing themselves. Again, with the approval of the government, not necessarily the parents, but with the approval of the government. Yeah, you're 17 years old, you're depressed. All right, go ahead and kill yourself. Oh, my goodness. And there are those in America that want to bring euthanasia here. And mark my words, they will not begin the discussion with, hey, you know, there are 16 and 17-year-olds that are depressed and want to kill themselves, and we need to allow it. That will never, ever, ever, ever be a part of the starting discussion. It'll be the old, the elderly, the infirmed. They've lived their full life. They have no value to society anymore. They're senile. They have dementia. Let's just end their life. That's where the discussion will begin. And then it ends with this. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievably sad. Sad, sad, sad. Tragic, shameful, I would say evil. All right, we've got Jim in Columbus that wants to further the discussion. Jim, you're on Bob Burney Live. Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Pastor Bob. Yeah, I don't know how to share this. Just hit my mind. 12 years old, that's age of, you know, that age is kind of important here in the United States as well as far as certain things about victims. This is the concern, you know. We talk about how it can't get much worse. Mm-hmm. This is where I see it going. They're going to bridge that gap between killing babies as they're born.
Yeah.
And 12 years old.
Yeah.
That's the next goal. That age group right now seems to be, the way you're describing it, a protected group. All I can say is just wait a few years. There will be some place in this world where even that segment will no longer be protected. And killing will just be killing it at convenience, regardless of age or anything else.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jim, many people go through periods of pain where they've just had enough. They just can't take any more. Now,
sure.
You know, 5 years ago, I went through this thing with my neck. And Jim, I was in excruciating pain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I understand my pain was not nearly as bad as many, many, many people have. And I understand that. I acknowledge that fully. But for me, there were times I got so tired of the pain. I was tired of it. I didn't want to live anymore with this pain. And again, my pain wasn't as bad as many people experience. Many people go through periods of time when they're tired of living, they're tired of the pain. And yet, Jim, my goodness, I am so grateful I didn't do anything dumb or stupid during that time. You know,
right.
I was able to have
right.
surgery. I was free of the pain. If we were allowed to do some of the stupid things we want to do, I think all of us, at least most of us, would be in serious trouble. And you're right. You're right. And the far liberal progressive left, Jim, is the group. They're the group of death, whether it comes to abortion, euthanasia. They are the party, the progressives, the liberal, the leftists who are in control of the Netherlands. They're the party. They're the philosophy. They're the politics of death and not life.
Well, I could see a scenario of something where parents get together with you know, whoever's ultimately responsible for authorizing this and saying, my 9-year-old has so much pain, but my 9-year-old doesn't understand the pain they have, and let's just be kind to the 9-year-old and just terminate the 9-year-old's life.
Yeah. Well, in the Netherlands, they can't do that with a 9-year-old, but they can do it with a 12-year-old.
No, what I'm saying is there's going to be a point. I, you know, we're in times where when you think that the next step would just be completely ridiculous and it could never happen, it's bizarro world. This is all bizarro world.
Well,
and it's sad.
Listen, Jim, when euthanasia was first introduced into the Netherlands, I think if anyone would have stood up and said, you know what, if we approve this, if we embrace this, there will be a time when 17-year-olds who are just depressed will be allowed to end their lives. I think most people would have said, that's crazy. That'll never happen. Of course it won't. Well, it did this past Sunday.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Jim.
Bob, thank you for carrying the torch, buddy. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, pal. Yep.
Yeah. I'm serious. When the debates began in the Netherlands for euthanasia, and someone in the opposition would have stood up and said, folks, listen, if we do this, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have 17-year-olds who get depressed and say they want to end their lives, and they'll find two doctors that'll do it, and without parental consent will be allowed with government approval to kill themselves. I think most people who favored euthanasia would have said, oh, don't be ridiculous. That's crazy talk. Are you nuts? Of course that won't happen. As I said, it did. 2 days ago, this 17-year-old that I'm positive could have gotten help, counseling, medication, could have gotten help. And that 17-year-old in her 40s would have looked back and said, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. I am so glad I got the counseling. I got the help. I got some medication. I am so glad that no one allowed me to kill myself when I was 17. That'll never happen. It will never happen. All right. Quick break, and we'll be back. Today, it's either today or tomorrow, is the 30th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square catastrophe in China. Are things better or worse in China? We'll discuss that when we return.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Thirty years ago today, the attention of the world was drawn to Tiananmen Square in China. After several weeks of pro-democracy protests, June 4th was kind of the climax, and over a million people came to Tiananmen Square in China. Now, how could a million people be there? Well, it's 109 acres right in the heart of Beijing. Tiananmen Square was first constructed in 1420 AD, and the name actually means, of all things, gate of heavenly peace, Tiananmen Square. Well, after weeks of pro-democracy protests, more than a million people gathered in Tiananmen Square on June 4th, 1989. The Chinese government ordered its military to reclaim the area, and thousands of Chinese military descended on the square starting at 1 a.m. Hundreds of people died, thousands of people were arrested. An official death toll has never been released. Several dozen people were executed for their part in the demonstrations. And today, 30 years later, mention of the Tiananmen Square massacre is banned in China today. All of the media, print, TV are forbidden to even mention it. If you remember, if you were old enough to remember or know anything about history, one of the most iconic moments was when the so-called tank man stood before a line of tanks blocking their progress, almost defying them to run him over. Well, he stood there for quite some time before he was pulled aside by other demonstrators. But he became a representation of those demonstrations. That was 30 years ago, over a million people. Well, the government of China put down the protest with brutal clarity. You will not protest against the Chinese government. For a time, there were improvements in civil rights, human rights in China that continued for several years, but not now. I was just reading an article today about 1 o'clock this afternoon from people on the ground in China who were there during the Tiananmen Square protests, and they are saying the human rights situation in China is worse today than it was 30 years ago. But the military, the government, has such a stranglehold on the population that protests the size of the ones that were held 30 years ago today are unthinkable. And with this social credit score that you and I have talked about on many occasions, where every single person in China is given a social credit score, anything you say against the government is considered to be a deficiency in your social credit score. And if you do not have a sufficient social credit score, you can't get on an airplane. You can't get on a train. You can't get on a bus. You can't get a job. You can't get utilities at your house. You can't get television at your house. The human rights crisis in China is probably worse today than it was 30 years ago. Now, I am very appreciative of so many things that the Trump administration has done for religious liberty and freedom here in America and other countries. But I wish, how I wish, that the American government, the Trump administration, would be more forthright in calling out communist China over their human rights. The president has been very strong in the trade imbalance. We're now in a trade war with China over the tariffs and so forth, and the president is saying that China has taken advantage of us on imports and exports and on the economy, and all of that is probably true. But he has said very, very little about the human rights abuses in China. And I think that's very disappointing. I am concerned, as anyone else is, about the trade imbalance, the economy, but the human rights, religious freedom rights of people in China is far more important than the economy. And I am praying, and I hope you will join me in praying, that the U.S. government will become much, much, much more aggressive in confronting the communist Chinese government about their horrendous human rights violations. Quick break. We'll be back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.